it's not smooth. And it's not comfortable. And it's true that, you know, be, like in this conversation, and I really enjoy it, and it's been so good, you know, to talk about, you know, what we've done so far. But I think that there's a lot of aspects to creating your own business, you know, in general, but in landscaping in particular, because that's, you know, what I'm doing right now, that is really hard.
Welcome to episode one of Developers. What you're about to hear is a conversation with Nicholas Zumino, founder of Garden Goat LLC. Nicholas moved his family to Austin, Texas from Europe a few years ago with the goal of creating a business that would support him and his family's dreams. He stumbled upon the landscaping industry, as most do, and left his job in the tech sales space to go all in. He has great stories to tell and lessons to learn from. Stay all the way to the end to hear about his goals and how he plans to achieve them. I hope you enjoy.
Weren't you doing tech?
Before, yeah.
So what were you doing?
So different things, but I mainly was working in startups. And when I arrived in the US, so I was on a, you know, working for a startup in France. I was not working too well, but I was doing sales. So, you know, waking up at 4 every day, finishing my day at 2. That was nice part.
Because you're selling people here?
Yeah, no, I was selling in France. So I was talking on the phone all the time.
But you lived here.
But I lived here. Oh. That's when I was just arriving, which was good because I didn't have to look for a job. I didn't have to, you know, there was no, like, no gap. You know, I was working there, working here, good.
Totally.
But yeah, working up very early. So that was tough. And here I could not find a job, like no way. And I was very, very surprised.
Well, what kind of position were you working in?
Sales, tech, sales stuff? You know, like I was working for a Bulldozer, which is a company that does project management for construction companies. Mm-hmm. One of the goals when I arrived in the US was to, you know, possibly branch, you know, it in the US.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I arrived here, I was like, okay, just forget it. The competition here, I mean, is 10 times what we had in France.
Totally.
I mean, this market in the US is way more mature. I mean, like, you know, you have, I don't remember now, but there's a Fieldsight or something like this, which is a very good company. Then you have Procore is also very good. Now I'm sure the inside is not as pretty, but definitely it's a huge company. It's valued as 1 billion. I mean, you know, it's huge competition. We were nowhere near this level. So yeah, that was ruled out. And and eventually, you know, working up at 4 was like, you know, a little bit difficult. So yeah, I started to find something else and then just could not. I could not, like literally could not. And to this day, I have no explanation. I don't know. It's like,
so then what?
So I was like, okay, I won't find a job. So I got into Salesforce because I knew Salesforce. I was doing sales. And so that's, you know, in CRM. So that was interesting to me. And, you know, I got all the certification and I started.
So it was easier to get that job?
I mean, I didn't get a job. I was just doing, you know, I did the certification and got freelancing for customers, for clients.
Where you were building CRMs?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
You know, usually you you purchase you know, Salesforce and then you have to do your own CRM because it's, I mean, it's like, it's a big thing, right?
Totally.
There's plenty of ways to get it wrong.
Totally.
Especially in CRM, you know, you want to have like the best solution, but really, you know, what you really need is a solution that fits your processes, your team, your size, you know, and it doesn't, you know, make sense to have like all the bells and whistles. Like it really does not. So, and it is a lot of work to, you know, size it and, you know, get all the processes correctly to work, all the automation and all this.
Totally.
So yeah, I was doing that and I love the work. The work is like, I mean, really interesting. It's no code development.
Uh-huh.
So it's,
which is easy,
engineering minded, but you don't have to learn a code to do that.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, super easy, but it's, you know, you learn. It's a whole, you know, it's a big platform. And, I mean, I could have continued doing this. It's just that just in front of the computer all day, I was like, I don't see this like long term. Like, I don't really see where, how is this, you know, a viable way to make a living for me?
Yeah. So you're like landscaping,
you know, and so
I can make a living.
Yeah, it is hard, but yeah, no, the primary, you know, goal in this move for me from, you know, being a Salesforce consultant to landscaping was really about my kids. And I wanted them to understand what I was doing for a living, what I was doing all day, you know? And yeah, for sure, Salesforce is not that, you know, you sit in front of the computer all day and like, no way.
Yeah.
Even people like, you know, in the field, it's like sometimes it's, like, it's not so easy to understand exactly what exactly Salesforce does and what do you do in Salesforce or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so so yeah, I just, you know, stumbled on landscaping, you know. I had no prior experience really, you know. I did a little bit of that in France when I was a student also. I did some, you know, in Germany, you know, just, you know, as a, you know, labor, you know, for students.
Yeah.
But nothing more than that. So like, I mean, I was really starting from scratch. And so, yeah, at the beginning it was tough, you know, like just doing the project myself. I remember like a few times, doing like a small, you know, garden bed with, limestones. And, I had a mason, you know, supposed to come and no show. So I go, okay, I'm going to do it myself. The wall is still standing today. Like, this customer is one of my first customer, Susan. And since I've done like maybe 5 other projects for her.
Oh, good.
She's so nice. And every time I come, I'm like super proud to see this wall still there.
Yeah, that feels good.
You know, because I mean, when I go to customers, I see like, you know, walls like failing like every day. And it's not that it's, you know, wasn't built correctly. Like many, you know, mason wall fail just because the ground shifts and, you know, this is fact of life. You know?
Totally.
So yeah.
Or improper drainage, shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, well, what I'm really interested in and like the, like why I wanted to start this is because I listened to this one podcast called Founders. Have you ever listened to it?
No.
Brilliant podcast. The guy's name is David Sarah. I think, I don't want to fuck up his last name. His name's David. He's a very, very intelligent guy, and he's built his entire business off this podcast.
Yeah.
And the goal of the podcast and like the mantra is learning from history's greatest entrepreneurs. So he reads a book, a biography, and then writes a bunch of notes and then shares all his favorite notes in that podcast that week.
Oh, wow.
So you should listen to it. A lot of Charlie Munger, Sam Walton, you know, all the big guys, and just about how they ran their companies. And so what I want developers to be is something similar where, if, you know, I want to talk to guys who have done it, but I also want to talk to guys who are doing it, who are developing their business. So what I'm interested in is like how, and I think what other people are too, because I think it's hard to, you know, for a lot of people trying to start a business is like, what do I even do? So like, how did you even get the first customer, right? Like, or how did you, that's even before that, you found landscaping, you say, I'm going to start a landscaping company. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, it was like really, it's not that I planned it. Like, honestly, okay. So the first step, like the first really, like the first ladder that I can remember where I thought, okay, why not? Was absolutely random. I'm browsing Nextdoor. I see this app, you know? And someone was like sounding a bit desperate about, you know, trimming a tree and getting rid of like all the brush, you know, in their yard. And they're like, please, someone help me. Like,
yes.
And, you know, I was like, you know what? It's a nice day outside. I'm just going to do it. You know, yeah. I can do it. I know this is pretty easy. Let's do it. And I did it. And I charged her like, you know, super little. And it was cool. I was outside, you know, working hard, you know, definitely, you know, breaking a sweat. And I mean, the woman was like so happy that I did this for her. It was not much, but she was so happy. She paid me more. And, you know, that was it. You know, like a big afternoon. I was on my way. Like, it was a neighbor as well. So it felt good. It's a good experience. And that was like maybe the first letter where I was like, well, like, you know. I make some kind of
got
here.
A landscaping.
You know,
company.
It beats looking for a job.
Yeah.
And it beats also being in front of the computer, you know, spreadsheets and Salesforce all day. And so that definitely like started, you know, getting the, how do we say, the
wheels turning.
Yeah. And kind of exceeded the idea in my mind. And, and then was, I was like, okay, I want to have my own business.
So what year, was another, when was that?
2022.
Okay.
And so really I started, my first customer was in December 2022.
Okay.
Which was very shortly after, because as you know, as everyone know, getting into landscaping is actually one of the easiest business to get in. Totally. I mean, you really need just a truck, if that, you know. And then that's it, you're on, you know, you're, yeah, that yeah. can start. And well, so for me, I started with Thumbtack. That's a pretty, you know, simple way to get leads. And that still works for me. Surprisingly, it's still a good source of leads.
Yeah.
They're very solid. And, but yes, very quickly, you know, hired people, you know, getting experience, failing a few things.
So did you hire full-on employees or...
No,
contracted
I subcontract.
Okay.
Yeah, still now I subcontract everyone. Now it really feels like they're part of Garden Goat because I work with them every day.
Yeah.
But they are technically subcontractors.
Yeah.
So my main crew that I do landscaping with and I work with them every day, you know, he's got his own company. And, you know, I...
Do they wear Garden Goat shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... and so I've talked with him several times, you know, like, do you want to sell your business to me? Like, I would love to, you know, like have the, you know, have employees and all this. And you know, this is certainly part of my goals. Now, I do realize that having subcontractors right now, it is good, you know, for the size that I've got, for the customers that I've got. It works at the moment. Eventually, yeah, I would definitely want to have like a real team, you know, like everyone, Garden Goat, you know, and I want to take care of my employees, you know, I want to have some form of insurance, you know, I want to have like a small office, a yard where we can, you know, have all our tools or our equipment. Yeah, that would be like awesome.
Yeah. And so what do you see? What's like the, what do you see as your goal with Garden Goat? Like let's say 10 years from now.
So yeah, I mean, ideally for me, Garden Goat would be, you know, around 6 to 7 million in revenue per year. Have about 12 to 15 employees. And we would have like, you know, out of 360, kind of like a, you know, a large lot where we would have hangar type, you know, putting all the skid steers, you know, all of this, Bobcat, and having a small office, you know, meeting rooms. Not too much, you know, but somewhere with some AC.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to gather, you know, have a few meetings, you know, just maybe before going to the job site and so on. And one of the things that, you know, in my vision, what I really, you know, enjoy is to have this team, you know, to have this team that I have built, trained, and also shaped in terms of culture, in terms of values.
Yes.
I would love that. I would love that. I mean, I'm doing it right now, even if it's, you know, it's the beginning and I'm still, you know, shifting, figuring out, okay, you know, I'm landing on, you know, like ownership, you know, that's going to be the first one. And I'm trying to, you know, see, okay, where does customer service, you know, will land? You know, I don't want to think customer service is not a value. You know, I want to have like a value that really resonates with me and that takes care of this aspect of the job, which is, you know, one of the most essential, obviously, when we are doing landscaping is customer service. So that has to be, you know, somewhere very central.
It's amazing. It's important.
So, yeah. So what I'm saying is that, like, in my vision, yeah, having this team and culture and values is a big part of this vision that I have. Now, yeah, the type of landscape, well, that doesn't, you know, matter too much. Although, of course, you know, there are, you know, when I see on Instagram, like, all the amazing things that landscapers are doing, like, yeah, I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I really want to do something like this. And, but, you know, what really fuels, you know, my days is that I can see that I'm well on my way, you know, to achieve this slowly, but, you know, every day getting closer and closer. So that's, that feels good to be on the path. And,
what makes you feel that way?
Well, I mean, just the reality of what we're doing, you know, we're working much better. I'm meeting people that are, you know, much better than what we've been doing, you know, before. And so we're progressing for sure. I mean, I am obviously totally. Starting from zero in experience. And now I actually do have some, and I feel a lot more confident that, you know, my customers, I was going to say, they're better off with me, but yeah. That may sound a bit like exaggerating, but no, I feel like they're in good hands. You see, I'm like, no, I want to serve more customers because I think I'm doing a good job for them. So, and that's, I mean, that's the key right here, you know, like knowing that, yeah, your solution is good. It's a good solution. And that's what I would advise, you know, sounds that's like what you, I would do.
Sounds like you care about them too.
Well, yeah, but you know, it, of course, I've been in sales and tech. So, and I realized this very early. If you're selling a product that you're like, it's, you know, like they could do something else that would be like actually, you know, pretty yeah. good. That, you know, you can't do that. Yeah. It doesn't work, you know. It doesn't, like, yeah, no. I mean, you know, anytime I was in a situation, I was like, okay, I just, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. It cannot. Mm. So... And this is really profoundly one of the reasons why I've got my own business, is because it's very hard to, how to say, to go from A to Z. If you're part of a huge team, you know, it's like anything can happen. It's like, yeah, fulfillment, like they can do whatever they want. And what, like, no, this is not on me. Like, I can't do anything about that. And that makes it more difficult. Here, I'm not saying there's not going to be mistakes. There are going to be mistakes, you know, but this is going to be my mistake. This is going to be, you know, my responsibility. I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
And in the end, they're going to be happy because I'm going to fix it.
Totally.
Like, I have to, you know, and, yeah. And I have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's a whole process. It's, you know, from the material to the organization, the operation, the fulfillment, the people that I have on my team. I've got 100% control, mm-hmm. you know, this is 100% me. So if there's anything wrong, then yeah, that absolutely completely my responsibility and I can do something about it.
Totally.
So that feels good.
You would love that podcast. You really should listen to it. I'll send you one. There's a guy, cause it's interesting what you're talking about. I loved that you said that your goal is customer service, building values, all those types of things. But then when you said, the type of landscapes, it doesn't matter so much. I think honestly, there's a lot of genius in that. There's a guy, I forget his name and I just listened to it, but he's the founder of this company called Fastenal. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's a $38 billion business he built from the ground up, had it for 70, 80 years, right? They sell nuts and bolts and screws.
Wow.
But something he says in his biography, and he calls out Kodak for this, is that so many people mistake their delivery mechanism as their product, right? So they mistake, you know, like Kodak, they thought Kodak was in the film business, not in the photography business. Because they were selling film,
I see.
They didn't progress over time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like for us, for our design company, our product is not the things that we use. Our product is to provide.
We're product agnostic.
Exactly.
We're selling a solution and a service.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is also even just helping, you know, homeowners get clarity. Like, what do I have here? Mm-hmm. And just this morning, you know, I saw someone, I'm not going to sell anything to him. It's just not, you know, viable, but he had like a failing retaining wall. It's like, what can I do with this? And I was very happy to see that I had enough experience to really help, to really, you know, give him some good, you know, options. And this is, you know, what is possible. This is what a big company will tell you.
Yeah.
This is more or less the budget that you're looking at and so on. And that really helps, just this, you know, to totally. Understand, you know, what's going on and what is possible. So definitely, I think that landscaping is a lot of service, way more than product. And then also like a solution, because at the end, and that's how we make the money, that to provide a solution. And a solution, you know, goes from the type of material we're going to use the skills that we're going to put in front of this material to make it, you know, to make it alive in a landscape. And of course, you know, the design, the drainage thing, the, you know, the patio that will be sized, you know, so that it fits into the yard, into their lifestyle, into their family, into what is their idea of enjoying their space. So yes, all of this is a solution. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the execution from A to Z, you know, yeah, that is.
Yeah, it's good. Do you have any goals that you set for this year, or do you have any goals that you're thinking about right now?
Yeah, definitely. So now I've got, you know, goals in terms of revenue per year. Mm-hmm. I've got goals in terms of velocity of sales. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of quality. So, you know, the rate of 5-star satisfaction and how fast we can get from receiving a lead to getting the money or delivering the solution.
Yeah, totally.
So, yes, I've got, you know, I've got the baseline in terms of KPIs, and I've got, you know, what is my objective to hit by the end of the year.
What's that?
So for revenue, that would be 700,000.
Nice.
So last year I was at 500, and so that would be a good challenge.
Are you close, you think?
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. One of the, so, you know, I had a salesperson helping me last year.
Yeah.
And he moved to Wisconsin, and so I could get, you know, to 500 easier last year than this year, because this year I've been selling, you know, everything on my own, and definitely I am the bottleneck right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm starting to recruit. I've got a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And it's been the first month, and so far it's,
I want to talk about that.
It's really great.
Yeah. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, that helps.
So is a salesman the next person you're trying to find?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And so yes, to go from 5 to 7, it is a challenge. It is a challenge, not so much that I don't have the leads. There's plenty of leads. The bandwidth.
So that's interesting, because when I had my landscape company, I also had a partner. And I focused more on the operations and the marketing. He focused more on sales. So I was trying to think of what helped us. And then also I'm thinking about this company, Your Haven, and what I did first. And the first thing I did was hire a salesman, but I was contracting out the designs. But then I finally hired a designer full time. So I'm wondering if maybe the hire should be your guy that you're working about, so you don't have to worry, so you can just focus on selling.
So you mean hiring like a project manager, like someone that would take care of
the fulfillment? Okay, so like for our landscape company, we had a guy named Jorge. Uh-huh. Jorge had the guys, the truck, the tools, everything. And we worked out a deal with him. First, we were paying him per job. So if we sold the job for 10,000, he does it for 8, we make 2,000 bucks. Then we hired him on like a salary basis, right? A lot of mistakes in there. I was really young, right? I was like 23, paying this guy $500 a day in cash, you know, like just so it was ridiculous. But I might cut that part out. But that allowed us to really focus on building the business, because he was, but we trusted him to do the work and really quality control it. And that was super helpful, because then he just focused on sales, because it sounds like you're doing sales and the project management.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm doing a lot less project management than before. But still quite a bit. And definitely I should get out of the field a bit more. But I think it would be challenging to really, you know, not do any project management.
No. Yeah, no, definitely.
So it depends. So the balance that I have right now is that I do PM a lot for customer facing, mm-hmm. right? Totally. You know, everyone in my, you know, in my team, like, I mean, their English is not good, like really not good. They're great in landscaping, you know, but yeah, no, their English is not so good. So yeah, client facing, they will want to speak to me, you know, and I don't want to, you know, sell and then disappear once they, you know, once they pay the first installment. Like it doesn't really work. And also, anyone doing sales in this context, for me, they have to be somewhat involved in the fulfillment, because it's very linked, right? And it's very possible to sell something that just doesn't work in reality. Yeah. It's very easy. You do, oh, you just put like a concrete and just you do this, you know, and then you arrive and it's like, no, it doesn't work. Like, you have roots everywhere, the level is not right. Like, we would have to spend a lot more to just pour concrete. It doesn't work like this. You would have to do a lot more. So if someone in sales just doesn't have like an understanding of what it is really that we're doing and why, and how does it fit into the space and the grade and so on and the drainage, and we can make some mistakes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have, sales just, you know, throwing, you know, a project here, like, you take care of it, and I don't want to hear about it anymore. Mm-hmm. That would be difficult. And so that's why, you know, for me, well, I mean, at the moment I do both, absolutely, you know, 100%. And I do feel like, I mean, you know, I want to start with the sales. That's, you know, the starting point, right? There's no point in managing a project that you haven't sold, right?
Totally.
So it has to be there. But I want to hire someone in sales that will be able to also, you know, be there. Now, I'm not expecting them to do as much as I do, because I really, you know, make sure that I hold hands of the customers if need be, and be there extra if you know, if it's necessary. And also, I mean, I'm helping my guys all the time. You know, we're missing something, you know, some material. Okay, you know, I go there quickly and I help. But I do this much less now than I used to.
Yeah.
And now also I have much more confidence, and we have a much better understanding of, okay, what it is that we're doing. And I know their skills. So I've got different crews for different jobs. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm at a place where I'm very confident of who I'm going to give it to and what result I'm going to get.
Yeah, that's great.
So that is, a very comfortable...
It makes it easier to sell too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's much more comfortable to have the knowledge of, like, you know, how much I'm going to have to pay and what is the skill level required. And I know that, yeah, Jose, he's got it. You know, he's going to do something good. Mm-hmm. And I know it. So that is very good.
Yeah.
Because the first year, I mean, it was like... It was really tough, and I was doing a lot of the labor myself.
Yeah.
Which, definitely it's good that I don't, because it's just, you can't scale.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's been maybe a bit slower than it could have, absolutely. But I can live with that, you know, and I enjoy the experience, and I think it's necessary for me to have the confidence, and also the understanding of what I'm selling, you know, have this experience like on site, like understanding, you know, being in front of, you know, this wall that I have to build, and like seeing exactly what it takes to get something that works. So that I can estimate it better, I can manage the crews better, and I can set expectations to the customers better.
Totally.
Because it's also a matter of, you know, giving this understanding to the customers. Look, you know, we're in Austin, like, plants are going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, you know, like, not 100%, of course, but yeah, some will not make it.
But yeah, you said the word earlier too, clarity, which that's our, we say your Haven's mantra is clarity and design.
Yeah.
And confidence in execution. That's what we're trying to provide, right? Because I know if we can help you do that, if you're clear on the design and you're confident in the execution, then you can portray that to the homeowner, and it's going to get done and sold, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about the sales thing first. Or mainly just that it's I think what separates you from all these other guys so much that I see is that your background is just completely different. You have a way more business sales background than most of these other guys have. You know what I mean? Which I think is a huge advantage, because you're not doing the work yourself. A lot of these other guys are doing the work themselves, or do a majority of it, or grew up in it. So they know how to talk about it, but they so lack the sales and the business aspect of it. So that's why I think it'll be successful for sure if you find the right guys. But as far as the sales process goes, like, how does that work for you?
So it's pretty simple. We get the lead and we schedule a call, 15 minutes, and I've got a script for this call. Now, I don't always follow the script, but definitely it's an anchor for me. And I've got some questions and some chapters that I go through that I think are very important and do set some expectations about what I'm going to deliver and also differentiate, you know, what we're doing.
So what's your goal of the call?
So the goal is to frame the relationship, is to take ownership and to take, also the lead, you know, in terms of the relationship and in terms of the, you know, the sales process. Because many times homeowners have a preconceived notion of what they want and what they want to be done. And sometimes they go and they're like, can you just put some gravel? And it's like, well, of course I can put some gravel. It's not, but do you really want me to just go here and dump the gravel? That's not what you want. Yeah. No, what you want is fix the drainage issue that you have.
Yeah.
And the drainage issue that you have, it may be from different sources. Maybe just gravel is not going to, you know, fix it. Or maybe, you know, it is, or in a way, whatever. And so I'm trying to...
You're the expert.
Yes. Position me as an expert and to help them, right? Obviously.
Totally.
And to not get into the situation where we go fast, we sell something, and then I get there and I realize, actually, that was not ideal. You know, it's not... If I think a little bit more about it, there was other solution. And now that I realize, talking with the homeowner more, I realize that actually his objectives are a bit different. And I didn't really, you know, dig, you know, very deep. And so now I realize, well, really, that would have been great to have a deck, really. That actually would have been the solution for what he wants and for the objectives. But if you don't ask the question, if you don't take the lead into the sales process, that may be completely, you know,
totally,
like, not even discussed.
So you set this 15-minute call up.
15.
And then what's your goal at the end of the call?
Schedule a visit. And also, what I'm saying every time in these calls, I say, we'll see. So in the introduction, I say, you know, learn more about your project, ask you a few questions, tell you a little bit about Garden Goat and how we work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously super important to, you know, say, hey, we're a company and we're providing a real solution, a real service. And, you know, just saying a few lines about what we do and why we do it. And then the next chapter is also saying, so that was the thread of what I was going
to
say.
Well, just the initial call. You explain about you and then what do you do?
So, yeah, also saying, we'll see if we're a good fit for each other. Right?
Yes.
Because I'm trying to also.
That's what I say every call.
Yeah, you know, like, you don't want to be like, oh please, please, please! I'm the best for this. I want this job.
So like, where did you learn this?
So I mean, it's a mix. I think this one, like, see if we're a good fit for each other. I think this one is podcasts. You know, I've been listening
Which
to
one?
A few. So there is the. So this line specifically, we're a good fit for each other, is Josh. Josh, I can't remember his name, but his podcast is Outer Spaces. And he's a landscaper in Philadelphia. And he's really good.
I wonder where Josh got it from. Because Josh didn't come up with it.
Well, I mean, it's pretty...
But I wonder where he got
it's
it
pretty,
from.
It's pretty
common.
Classic, right?
Yeah, it's common.
And, but it is very important because so many homeowners, and also it's not just a homeowner, it's just that if someone, you know, gives you the impression that they're desperate to get your business.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, instantly the value just, like, is low, and it's, that's not what you want. You really want to say, like, no, we'll see if we have some interest in working with you. And it is actually true. It is true. And some of the questions that I asked during this call is when executing this project and selecting a company to do it, what are the three most important criteria for you?
Mm.
I always ask this question.
It's a good question.
And And most of the time, people have like some actual real answers. You know, they think about it because they don't expect this question. They think about it, and many times they say, oh, timing, you know, we've got this wedding in September. I've got to get it done, you know, before then. And I realize it's a challenge. Well, no, at this point, I don't say anything about what we do, if it's possible, if it's not. It's not about me. I'm only asking them.
Then we're on to on-site.
But still, this is a very important, you know, information, like, you know,
totally.
this you know, timeline. But, you know, it happens sometimes that they go and they say price, you know, like straight up with nothing else. And, you know, I have turned down leads and saying, I'm sorry, I don't think we would be a good fit for this project. You know, I wish you, you know, all success, but we can't help you with this one. And like, I'm very happy that I can do this, you know, so that I can save time, serve more other people that, you know, are willing to pay.
Are the right fit.
Yeah, that are the right fit, absolutely. And so, yes, so that's part of the screening questions. And it's not so much screening, it's also like getting to understand them, their context, why they want this project, why they want a project now. And I don't always ask the same questions, but, you know, we'll see where the conversation leads us. But it definitely, you know, is below 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And at the end of this call, I mean, most of the time we schedule a visit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, 2-3 days later, then I go on site. And
how do you schedule the call? I think that's a good one for people too.
So, I mean, I schedule it.
Or not the call, the on-site.
I mean, I schedule on Google Calendars. And
no, but like, how do you do it when you're on the phone? Like, is there anything you say or any tip you could give? Like for me,
yeah,
it's, I give them a time, the soonest time available. And I say, can you do 4 p.m. today?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, yeah. So that's right.
Instead of just saying, hey, when can you meet?
Yeah. You know? No, you're right. You're right. And it's funny because when you asked this, I was like, I don't have any, you know, tips, but it's true that I do have a protocol. Actually, I always, you know, propose a time, and
yeah.
I am proposing the time.
Yes.
Again, it's the same thing that I'm in charge of this process. This is, you know, you're in my world now. This is Garden Goat's processes.
Yeah.
And I follow my processes. And if you want to have a visit before the call, okay, sometimes I do it. If, for example, it's like the fourth project for the same customer, like, no. Okay.
Totally.
But most of the time, no, I'm going to stick to my processes. And so, yes, part of the scheduling processes is I give one time, like Tuesday, you know, 3 p.m. And if they can, cool, book, done. You know, okay, if they cannot, I'll propose something else. You know,
or typically they'll tell you a time after that, right?
They can also, but if they cannot, you know, I mean, we would be on a call. So it's not, you know, so hard to find a time.
You're right, yeah.
And I really, you know, don't have, you know, much trouble like setting up this this visit.
Yeah.
And
well, I just wanted you to mention that because I was figuring that's probably what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And
no,
I think that's really valuable.
It's true. It's quite different than just say, when can you come? Or you know, when can I come?
Because, like, you know, there's another quote that say, I think Alex Ramosi says this, that founder is spelt S-A-L-E-S. And if we're not selling, how the hell are you going to run a business?
Yeah, you know. No,
you
that's,
know?
That's
so, like, you could have a great call and then, you know, not schedule a meeting, you know, and then
yeah,
what?
That would not be, yeah,
you know,
no, for
you
sure.
Can't sell, so.
For sure. And so.
That's good. So then when it comes to your sending out your estimates and whatnot, like, I think that's really valuable too. How do you create those?
So as you've seen them, I've got this spreadsheet, which is really well made. I didn't make it. Matt did it. You know, the salesperson that
okay.
worked, you know, with me last year. So Matt, amazing guy. And, you know, when I first started in landscaping, actually, I did not even start. I thought, look, I don't know anything about this. Let me just have a landscaper come to my home, help me to do something. And I can ask him for advice.
Really?
And that's exactly what I did. And Matt was the first one to show up and help me with my landscaping. And, you know, we ended up doing a small project, you know, but
wow.
For me to learn, right? And so Matt is a you know, young guy and really cool, really nice. And I thought he had a lot of things, like, totally right. And, you know, I asked him for advice. Like, I'm... and I was absolutely not ashamed, not afraid to do that. Look, I'm 43 and it was like 25 years old and I asked him for advice, you know, like, you know, and he was kind of like a little bit my mentor at the beginning, you know, like telling me, you know, how to price and so on and so on. And that's how I got started.
That's awesome.
And usually, so at this point, he kind of like changed from landscaping to designing landscapes. And so I was sending him designs, you know, from my customers that needed a landscape and a design. And so I was sending it to him. And one day, like, he was not answering his phone, and you know, I insisted. So he eventually said, "Yeah, we're out of business. Like, we're shutting down." And I was really shocked. And I mean, immediately, right then and there, I said, "Like, can you work for me? Like, how much can I pay you so that you can work for me?" I was like, "You know, I mean, we've got 2 weeks runway. Like, yeah." I'm like, "Can you start now?"
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Dang.
So it was a bit crazy, and it was great. I mean, it was amazing, and I'm still like in disbelief. And how can you go out of business? How? Because he had 5 years of experience. He had a large company, fairly large, doing a lot of projects. I mean, a portfolio of projects that looking good, you know, and he was very good in design. And so part of the processes that he, you know, brought with him was the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is really amazing. You know, when you know, he had to leave, I mean, I remember I had to sit down when he told me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not good. So yeah, so I've been using the spreadsheet ever since, and you know, I thought, oh, I want to increase the speed, you know, like doing it even more automated, you know, even more. So you know, I purchased the software, and then I started to use the software, and I started to realize, you know what? Even if I could use this thing 100%, it would not even be better than what I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So this is a good thing. It's a nice spreadsheet, and
so that puts your numbers together.
Yeah, so it puts the numbers together, and it works in a way that, I mean, for me at least, it makes a lot of sense. You know, you put the material, and then you have the cost of the material, the quantity, obviously, and you put the number of labor hours associated with this material, and for some reason, this logic, you don't find it everywhere on all the software, and definitely not everyone that is doing estimates in the same industry is doing the same way. But for me, it really allows me to go pretty fast, pretty accurate in terms of, yeah, this is exactly the cost that it's going to be in reality. And then I put my margin on top, and it's very flexible. I can change my margin if I want. I can add to it, you know, delivery, all of this. And it works mm-hmm. right now. So I'm doing some changes to it. For example, you know, I don't want to use Excel. This is like, you know, really rubbish. So we put it into Google Sheets. And
it's so funny, because if you heard my if my accountant heard that, he would be like just disgusted.
Oh yeah.
I love Google Sheets. He likes freaking Excel, and he's like,
Excel is a nightmare. And plus, you have to pay. Like,
I totally agree. It's not as good.
No, it's not. And so yeah.
Well, to be honest, I'm. Like, I think your estimating sheet is good, but I'm more impressed by the, like the actual estimate that you send out to the customers.
So you mean with the presentation?
Yeah, the presentation.
Yes. So this presentation.
Because I think a lot of people bid on Excel, right, or have a bidding process. But the way that you have your presentation, I think, is like something that definitely sets apart from most people. You know,
yeah,
I really do.
No, it is true. It is true, and it's a balance, because of course you want to send this estimate as soon as possible. And of course, if you do something super simple and fast, and yeah, you're not going to be bothering with, you know, a Canva presentation, putting the photos nicely and putting a little bit of a, you know, explanation, you know, limestone, looter compared to, you know, concrete.
Yeah.
You know, of course, that takes time, and it's, you know, it can be, you know, difficult. But on the other hand, you've done 80% of the job, which already took, yeah, a few hours, you know, probably five. If it's, you know, maybe about $20,000 project, it's going to be five at least. And so you're taking the risk of sending, you know, this proposal with these 5 hours of work in it and not having it the best it could be. And the best it could be, of course, is going to be with a presentation, with some photos, with some like explanation and some like, you know, you know, this is what it could look. And for a lot of people, that helps a ton. And it's true that we're bound to forget it, because for us, limestone gravel, we know what it is, you know, crushed limestone or granite or whatever. Yeah, we know what it looks like. It's pretty basic. But like, I remember when I arrived in Texas, I was asking these questions. I was like, what is crushed limestone? Like, yeah. What does it look like? I've got no idea.
Totally.
You know, and let alone the plants, no idea. Like, you know, oak, you know, I said like an oak, like that's not an oak, you know, yeah. Like in Europe, they don't look the same.
Yeah.
You know, like all of these things, it's just, it's like very small knowledge, you know, that if you don't live, you know, here, yeah, you don't know.
I just had an idea, actually. Because I was thinking...
Doing it with AI.
Well, I think that could be good.
Yeah.
But what I think, you can use AI to write the script.
Yes.
But what I think is you should make it a video of you talking about the design and through the quote. Because I would much... When I buy something, you know, I've been buying this camera equipment, right? And all this stuff. Because I want to create... more buzz around the brand and trust with customers. And I think a lot of that's with social media, right? But I've been watching so many videos about the specs of everything and learning and learning and learning. And that's just who I am. I love to learn. I love to get better.
Yeah, to geek out on the...
So yeah, what I think would be beneficial, if I was going to buy some landscaping, the hard part about your thing that I was thinking about, your presentation that you create, because it looks really nice. There's an intro page. It's all green. It's designed well. You use Canva, right?
Yeah.
It's designed well. There's an introduction and the price and the design and all that. It's just a lot to read. But if you had a video and then like a picture popped up and your face was just over here and then a picture popped up on the screen.
And you can do it on, and then on Canva. Just,
and you can in Canva. Yeah. I know, because I'm making a new onboarding for the pro members right now.
Yes.
And then you can talk about the design and why the decisions. And then it's faster. You can do that faster, right? Because it's a video. You don't have to type it all out. AI can make the script.
That is a good idea. Absolutely, yeah.
I think it's best to go to the house, but if you are going to send it, send a video.
Yeah, and I can integrate it into the proposal.
Totally.
That should be, that should be really the main page. That is a very good idea, absolutely, because it doesn't cost anything more to do that. Not even more time, yeah.
Almost less time, because you don't have to type all that shit.
Yeah. And but you know, for the photos and the typing and all this, I thought, you know, you can... I mean, maybe ChatGPT is not like exactly, you know,
yeah,
right?
Give me some facts about limestone, then you pick the couple that work and stuff.
Well, that's good. But no, but like having it a little bit more clever than that, so that I would give him the estimate. So the estimate he can read, oh, there's limestone gravel, there's, you know, 2 yards.
Him as the ChatGPT?
You know, yeah, there's like, you know, cedar, you know, boards, a deck, you know, whatever. There's this type of paver. And so you feed this into the thing and like spit me, you know, a presentation with all the criteria that you want, but read the estimate and do this presentation. So he will put the photos of the material you talk about.
Yeah.
He will say, yeah, a deck, you know, usually built like this, whatever, and you know, cedar. And then he will give all the, you know,
Now you can just have it write you a script.
Yeah.
So write me a 3-minute script.
Yeah.
And then you just read the script in the video. I think that'll be a game changer.
Yeah, because what is not easy to do, but it is really great, is to have like a little paragraph. Yeah, 3 minutes maybe, you know, on a video, talking about how this landscape, you know, overall, what it is that we want to achieve.
Why you made the decision.
Yeah, you know, like this patio, you know, how it ties in into the rest of, you know, the landscape and, you know, and the benefits that they get.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times it is not so easy to highlight, to emphasize the benefits of the solution that you're doing, and that has great value, of course, because at the end of the day, this is the bottom line for the customer. And like, you know, how am I going to enjoy this landscape? Why is it more enjoyable than something else? Well, because it's going to be more durable, because you're going to have less maintenance, because it's going to be more versatile, because it's going to be more comfortable and it's going to look nicer, you know, any version.
Just to wrap it up, so obviously you have your goals for the year, but is there something that you think that you're going to focus on to really change or help you get there to that goal?
So, Yeah, I mean, definitely someone in sales, you know, that will help. But I want to make sure that I have my processes, you know, a little bit more organized and mapped out and documented, so that I can have someone that I will set up for success. And also part of it is making sure that I have my KPIs baseline well-defined, you know, around sales velocity, around how long it takes to get an estimate out, and how many leads I can do per week, if also I'm doing so many visits per week, and also if I'm doing so many, you know, estimates per week, while also making sure that all the projects that are going on are still, you know, good, on track, and putting out the fires.
I heard a good quote from somebody, I forget who it was, but I was talking about that. You know, for me, with sales, it was hard for me for a long time to just completely delegate to Zen and say, hey, Zen, go sell. You know, like I was always in the meetings and stuff. But recently, like the last month, and he's just been closing deals just because I just delegated to him. He's like, do you want to be on this meeting? I'm like, no. And then he goes and closes it, you know. And then I was also thinking, man, I need to create an SOP, right, for this. And then I heard a podcast or somebody told me or something. They were like, no, make him do it.
Yes, of
have
course.
Him write these SOP,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And that's why I think you can, when
for
you
sure.
find that good sales guy.
Yeah.
Right?
No, definitely. And so there are, I think, on this, a balance between, and initially, like, you know, as my nature, I'm absolutely the opposite of a controlling, you know, control freak. Like, you know, I'm really not that. But I see, and for example, when Matt, you know, arrived, I was like, dude, you're doing better than me, so just you do it. And he did. So, you know, I learned a lot from him, and that was great. But now I'm like much more confident that, you know, I can see what is a good sales process. And now I feel like, of course, I want the sales to, you know, get going and sell. But also, it's very important for me that it would be our sales process.
Totally.
And that I understand that someone in sales has like so many experience and they're so good and they know how to do. And absolutely, cool. But also, I want anyone to conform to a certain, you know, format in the sales and to the sales process, and understanding that, yeah, this is the Garden Ghost sales process.
Totally.
And I like it that it's, you know, specific because this is Garden Goats. And if we want to change it, yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, and it will change, you know, in time. But I like that we're on the same page here, and we work within this framework, and that we, you know, totally agree that this framework works and we can make it work, but we still follow it.
Yeah, totally.
So yes.
All right, last thing, because you said in 10 years, the goal is 6 to 7 million. So that'd be 10X.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I think it's going to be awesome to look back at this, because this podcast is a little different, where it's not like, you know, we're talking to somebody who's already done it. Like, we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So like, is there anything that you'd want to say to yourself in 10 years, knowing that you hit the goal? Like, you're going to hit the goal, right?
Yeah.
Because the businesses who win, they just survive. And that's all you need to do.
Yeah.
You will 10X. So like, is there anything you'd want to say?
So yeah, absolutely. Don't forget how hard it was.
Totally.
Because, you know, when you've achieved something, it's very easy to say, yeah, but that was easy. And I always do this. I mean, it's so, like, it's so natural to do that. You know, you've achieved that. Like, you forget about, oh yeah, that, of course, yeah, and you want to achieve the next thing. And that's not going to stop, of course, because, you know, this is how we're wired. We're wired for growth. That's what we're looking for. You know, the next thing, of course, and that's normal. But in out of respect for the challenge, the hardships, the sacrifices also, and it's hard. You know, respect for my past self, my present self right now, like, to not overlook how hard it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want, you know, my future self to be proud to the correct level you know, not to a level that is biased by the fact that it's already achieved. No, it's achieved. Because before it was not, and before it was, you know, hard, and it was like a lot of work and a lot of energy, and it's an energy of, it's not smooth, and it's not comfortable. And it's true that, you know, be, like in this conversation, and I really enjoy it, and it's been so good, you know, to talk about, you know, what we've done so far. But I think that there's a lot of aspects to creating your own business, you know, in general, but in landscaping in particular, because that's, you know, what I'm doing right now. That is really hard. That is really hard. And, you know, it doesn't matter what level you are. It's really tough to grow, to change. And definitely, you know, getting to 10X requires me to be a different man. And I will be. And I am going through these changes, and it's hard. It is very hard. Like, there's just no way around it. And right now, you know, with this business, I really do feel like I have not before what we can call, you know, in many ways, but maybe a dark energy, you know, an energy that is putting a, you know, a sword on, you know, on my neck. It's like, no, this has got to work, you know, in one way or the other. Like, I've got to get it to work. You know, it's got to, you know, be a win. Mm-hmm. And this energy, I feel like I haven't had it so much, you know, before. For whatever reason, maybe, you know, it was working okay. It was like, you know, going through whatever, and it was fine. But I don't want to be fine now. I really don't want that. I want Garden Go to really be, you know, an amazing company, and change things, you know, around me in the city, for the people that work with me, for the people that I work for. I really want to make a difference, and I want this company to be bigger than me, way bigger than me, and yeah, at the moment, it's not that for sure, but it's satisfying to be on the path, but it's not comfortable by any means. Yeah. It is it is super hard, and and every day is a challenge, and every day, yeah, it's got to, you know, be better and be better, and it's, yeah, no, it is hard. So I don't want me to forget that.
Yeah, good. That's great. It's great advice. That ending was amazing. That's gonna be great to cool. Listen back to.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.